Good morning. Let's take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter 9. This morning, we're going to look at a couple of records in the Word of God in the Bible that we've looked at before, but this time I'd like to point out for you these three spiritual laws or factors that are at work in life situations: free will, the law of believing, and our authority in Christ. In Luke chapter 9 is a great record. Jesus is sending his disciples out on a mission, so to speak, and he's preparing them for it, and he is also arming them for it, so to speak. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, and he is going to give them dunamis, potential power or stored power, as we've looked at it. And in addition to that, he's going to delegate them the authority to use this power over an area of responsibility at will. It says, then he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples. These were also apostles, but here it refers to them specifically as disciples, who are men and women that deliberately place themselves under the master's authority so that they can learn and they can develop and be beneficiaries of his power and authority. Well, he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power. Here the word power is dunamis. Again, this is potential power or stored power that is there. And the next thing he gave them is authority, the delegated authority to utilize it. It's the word exousia, to utilize it at will over an area of responsibility. So now verse 1. Authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. What can they exercise this power over? Well, it tells us all devils, all of them. In other words, there are none too powerful for them to handle. I know we watch these movies and all of these things, and they chase people out of houses and all of these different things, but you will never come up against a situation that you not only have the potential stored power, but then the authority to prevail over that. And so he gave them the power and authority to act over an area of responsibility. And here is the first responsibility, is over all devils. That is the entire kingdom of our adversary, the devil and all of the evil spirits, and to cure diseases. Beautiful. The word cure here carries with it not only to cure, but to render service voluntarily. That tells us that this power is something that they can operate at their will or not operate it at their will. So they have the power. Now they can utilize it and exercise it over all devils and over disease, or they can decide that they don't want to do that. So it's at their will, but it's always voluntary service. They have free will. You see that? They have free will to operate it. People have said to me at some time, I've heard that you have to have special revelation to minister healing, or you have to have revelation to cast out devils. Here it tells us they have the power to do it, and they can do it voluntarily. They have the opportunity to exercise it. In many cases, once they act on the power that they have, once they begin to exercise the authority that they have, they do get more revelation or may get special revelation in those cases. But the point is, they already had revelation. Jesus just told them, I give you power and authority over all devils and to voluntarily cure diseases. Isn't that something? Now, as they act on it, sometimes they will get special instructions, but they already have revelation. We already see the revelation. Jesus gave it to his disciples, and then God gave it to Luke to write it down so that we would read it and know the revelation that we have to act on. Sometimes we get too hung up in all of these semantics, but even semantically, we have the power and we have the authority and we have the right to exercise it at will. It's already been given. But it is voluntary on both sides. Do you have free will? Yes. Do the people that you would like to heal have free will? Yes. They can choose if they want it, and they can choose they do not want it. Do they have the law of believing? Yes, they can believe it or they can not believe it. You can believe it or you can not believe it. Both have it. And you have the authority to exercise it. And they have the option to lovingly place themselves under your authority that they might be beneficiaries of the power and authority that you wish to exercise. Does that make sense? And every record you can go through and you can read it and then set and look at it and say, okay, does this person have free will? Does the person ministering have free will? Does the person receiving have free will? Yes. Do they operate the law of believing? Yes, they do. And is there authority to do this, to act on the word of God? Yes, there is. And you can go through each record. For good ministers of Jesus Christ, especially those who perform sacred service to the body of Christ, they should always be ready to take the responsibility upon their shoulders voluntarily. So there are situations in life where people don't have or are incapable of making decisions or believing properly, such as the case with children, where the parents have authority and can act on behalf of their child, or a minister can take that responsibility upon himself to act. He can even take the response, the parents can take the responsibility of believing for that child. The minister can take the responsibility. There are records in the Old Testament, like the record of Elisha and the Shunammite woman's son, where Elisha closed the door, kept everything outside the door, and then took that responsibility on his own shoulders. So it's really great. Let's look again at the record in Matthew 13. This is Jesus in his hometown. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, I just want to read the last part of it, beginning in verse 53, it says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? They may say, I went to high school with him. I went through elementary school with him. I used to be in the Boy Scouts with him. I used to be a brownie with her. And all of these different things for reasons as to not believe. But he went in to the synagogue where he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. He gave them enough information to see what he had planned and what he was going to do and then put it into action. Verse 57, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own house, in his own country, and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their, what? Unbelief. Here the word unbelief is the word apostia. The word for believing is pistia. And I shared before, when you put an A in front of it, it makes it just the opposite. It means not believing. They just didn't want to believe. No matter what Jesus could do, he could not override their free will. He had power over devils and over diseases, but, and the same that we have, but we do not have power over people. In order for people to be beneficiaries of this God-given power and God-given authority, they must decide that they're going to submit to the authority you have. Otherwise, you're going to be questioning yourself a million times, and it shows it right here. Was Jesus, our Lord, able to do the mighty works there? Well, he certainly was able, but they did not want it. And you will come against people who do not want it. By their free will, they have chosen, I do not want this. By their free will, they have decided that they don't believe what you have to share. They don't want to believe what you have to teach. And subsequently, they will receive the consequence of their unbelief. In other words, they won't receive that benefit of God. I think it's a good time to go over the two words for unbelief. The word apostia, which is the word used here, means where you've heard enough, but you still won't believe. You know, they knew what he was going to do. They might have even stood there and watched it, watched people get healed right before their face, and they would not believe it. And it's you've heard, but you haven't really heard enough to believe. You just wouldn't really consider it. Take the time to really give a listen. It's what we might call a skeptic. Did Jesus have free will? Yes, that's why he went there, and that's why he taught. And was Jesus believing? Definitely, otherwise he wouldn't have wasted the time to go there and speak and teach. And was he acting on the authority? Obviously, because he did mighty works there, but not many of them. Why? Because of their unbelief. Their unbelief, really something. They looked at him, they looked at his background, they looked at his brothers and sisters, the family and so forth, and they said, this just can't be. Really something. Those who believed positively benefited from the mighty works, and those that were negative did not. They didn't believe, and consequently, they didn't receive. See, I was one of those. I was a skeptic. I watched some healing services, and depending on the person, perhaps the denomination, maybe the way the person looked, maybe the way that he or she handled the meeting and all that, I didn't think that they should have that kind of power and authority. And you know what I received from them? Nothing. I didn't really give them a listen. Actually, I didn't really give a listen to Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, and I did not believe this glorious report that God freely gave them the power, that stored power, that stored energy, spiritual energy, and the authority to utilize it. I didn't think this person should have the authority to do these things, but God be blessed for the people who did and received the benefit. And it certainly is a good thing that this foolish man was not the one in charge of authorizations, because probably nobody would, I would not think anyone would be qualified to have that, including myself. And that I eventually listened long enough and was able to transform myself from skeptic to a disciple. Proverbs 3, let's take a look at Proverbs. You see, it's not a matter really of whether I believed that gentleman or the person I was watching doing the ministering. The problem was I didn't believe Luke 9, 1 and 2. That's where the real tragedy lies, not in what I thought of the, you know, certainly what I thought of the person was not proper, but the real problem for me and the real ineffectual part on my behalf was that I did not really believe Luke 9, 1 and 2, that God would allow people to do this. And that people would believe that that God did. And people believed that they had the authorization and went out and did it. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding." My understanding said, can't be. Don't lean to your own understanding. Lean to the scriptures. Luke 9, 1 and 2 says he gave them power and authority. Do you believe he still gives his disciples power and authority? So you can look at me and make a decision, but you don't make a decision based on me. Make the decision based on the word. Don't make a decision based on your experience. Make a decision based on the word. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Respect the Lord and depart from evil. And that's what I needed to do. I needed to depart from evil because I had an evil report because I did not believe the scripture. I said I did, but I really did not believe the scripture. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Respect the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. That's what the transformation, where you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I wanted to prove it, but I wanted what I wanted. And I didn't want to come God's way. And I didn't want to believe God's way. I wanted still to do things my way. And my way did not get me there. Then I decided I better trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. And then he was able to direct my steps to get me to the place that I do believe Luke 9, verses 1 and 2. And that I act on Luke 9, verses 1 and 2, and many others. See, where would you like to go with your free will? The law of believing and authority. in Galatians, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. They had gone there, but then they turned back. Galatians chapter 3. And they got to be where I was, a skeptic, a foolish man, a skeptic. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey what? The truth. Luke 9, 1 and 2 is the truth. I am not the truth. Luke 9, 1 and 2 is the truth, and that's what you should believe, that you obey not the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. It's very clear. You know it. You know it. Well, they knew it from experience, but we know it from the scriptures that Jesus Christ was crucified. And what it means to us. The word bewitched is interesting because it means it to speak incessantly foolishness. But you also speak it seriously. But it's foolishness. The words not obey is one word, apetheo. It's the word A-P-I-E-T-H long O in the Greek, transliterated to our English letters. The word pitho or pitho, it depends however you want to pronounce it, P-I-E-T-H-O means winning words. Apetheo means losing words. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has talked incessantly foolishly, with foolishness, very seriously, and has diverted you to the place with their losing words rather than the winning words that you once believed that you heard from Christ. Well, people do. You know, we hear the words from God, we hear the truth from God, and their winning words, our heart, we hear it and we say, oh my gosh, this is what I wanted all my life. Oh my gosh. Oh good gosh. This is so wonderful, so beautiful. And then somebody comes along and starts, you know, yak, 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 talking, 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 and incessantly. And it's foolishness that they're talking, but they are very serious about it. And then we say, oh, oh gosh. And we step away. Who hath bewitched you? That's what happened to the Galatian church. Goodness sakes. Well, are you going to believe loser language? Or will you, meaning you're, and the reason I say it's loser language is not I'm talking about the person, you know, loser, you know, L on your forehead. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it because you lose all the benefits by what you are listening to and making you a skeptic against the word, against the truths of the word, against such great principles such as the law of believing, such as your free will, such as the authority that you have in the name of Jesus Christ. You listen and you listen and you listen, and it's loser language because you lose the benefits because you become a skeptic and you no longer believe the truth. It happened in Nazareth. It happened in Chorazin. It happened in Bethsaida, in Capernaum, and Corinth, and Galatia, and all that be in Asia have turned away from me, from the Apostle Paul. Because they started to get into this incessant foolishness very serious about it, and it just made them losers. They lost the benefits that were once a part of their lives. Can they go back? Absolutely. But many don't. They were willing to trade God's benefits for rumors and negative reports. Don't be foolish. Then what they believed, or no longer believed, and no longer received, was proof enough that they were right. See, you're right. The law of believing doesn't exist. Yeah, and we get into this whole thing, because I didn't receive. Well, the reason you didn't receive was because you did not believe. Not me. You didn't believe the scripture. You stopped believing Luke 9, 1 and 2. And then you became ineffective. And when you became ineffective, you looked at the experience there. And then you said, I believe this, but you lost it. You listened to all this other stuff. And you're willing to trade it for experience. The law of believing does not fail you. You will fail to believe. And I realize this may be hard to hear for some people, but these factors and spiritual laws are true, and you live the way you believe. So believe the truth. See? Continue in the truth. Romans chapter 12. Let's go take a look at that great record. Romans chapter 12 on the renewed mind. Verse 2. It tells us, be not conformed to this world. One translation reads, don't allow yourself to be squeezed into the mold. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Like Luke 9, 1 and 2. I give you power and authority over all devils and to cure by your voluntary decision disease. Well, as disciples, our authority is over what? In Luke 9:1, all devils and disease. Does it end there? Not really, because there are parameters in which we do our work. Let's go back to Luke 9. There are certain parameters in which we function and utilize our power and authority. It says, verse 2, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. The word heal here is the word to recover from sickness, which indicates that there may be time. Not every healing is instantaneous. Some of them takes time, partly because our believing. Maybe you have five different things that are wrong with you, and your heart is focused on one, and that may happen instantaneously, but the other ones will, you know, you keep thinking about heal. They could cure all diseases, all, as it reads in another record, all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then as you continue to believe them, your body begins to heal more and more and more and more. So it covers everything. Some of the healings, just because someone did not immediately jump up and, you know, whatever, it doesn't mean that they weren't healed. Sometimes it takes time to recover. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats, and whatsoever house, you know, why? Why did he say that? Because Jesus expected the people who were blessed by their ministries and by exercising the authority and power that they had would take care of them, would bless them, want to bless them back. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Shake the dust off your feet means you don't have any animosity toward them. But you do know why and how they live like they live. And by lovingly and love in your heart, you can address that with them and maybe change the way that they live. So that was, you know, there was an expectation. They were imparting that power. They were exercising that authority among the people. Jesus expected that the people would be so blessed they'd want to take care of them. Really something. Verse 6, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing, what? Everywhere. So you know that they must have been received well because they were able to continue on their journey and continue on their mission by the people who were blessed by their coming, by their teaching, by their ministering. They decided, hey, let's help them get to the next city, because they had no purse, they had no scrip, they had no food, they had no extra clothes and all that stuff. And Jesus expected that the people would have an opportunity to say, I love what they're doing, I want to give back. So, there you go. Do the people where they were sent have free will? Yes. Did the disciples have free will? Yes. Did the disciples believe the words Jesus spoke to them? Yes. And they went and preached. Did the people believe their words? Not all, but those that did. Then they responded back out of the love of God that was in their hearts to help them move to the next city and the next city and the next city and the next city. And they saw it everywhere. Then do you want to be involved in a work like that? Let's see. Jesus was aware of that and told the disciples how they should respond. Shake the dust off your feet. And the ones that were there, they knew exactly what they could do. Could the disciples force them? No. The people were free to exercise their free will. Could the disciples begin to doubt themselves? Yes, but they decided to believe what Jesus told them when he prepared them for the mission. He already told them. And so they were prepared. Some are not going to believe. But whosoever's house you go into that does believe, stay there and abide there. And those people will take care of you and help you continue further in your journey. But people decided that they didn't want the healing from the disciples. They rejected the counsel of the apostles, so they remained sick. The disciples do not... Or his disciples could do not many mighty works there, but they did do some. And the people that were blessed by it because they heard it and listened to it were beneficiaries of the ministries of the disciples and received it. And they saw it in their lives, both spiritually as well as physically. Now, do you see how these factors and laws work? God will not violate them, but people may want to say they never heard such things. They did, but they just didn't listen long enough to believe it, or just outright rejected the words. But God was there, and the power of God was there, and opportunity was there. Well, in Jesus' hometown, he went in believing. He wanted to impart to them what he had. They chose to believe or to believe not, to hear him out or not to. And those that believed and allowed him to exercise his authority were beneficiaries. Those that believed not were losers in the sense that they lost the benefit. Because it was there. The power and presence of God was there at that time. And they chose not to. There was nothing wrong with Jesus. There was nothing wrong with his countrymen, except that they chose, some, not to believe, not to accept that authority, not to receive the benefits of God's wonderful power and authority he had given to his disciples. So now we're ready to look at the Apostle Paul next week. We'll go into this, and I want to show it to you in more of a perhaps a more real-life situation in terms of things that people go through more specifically, and I'll take it apart and I'll show it to you, and we'll go through Paul's arrival in Jerusalem and the things that happened to him, and then his jail time and the trials. He had to go to court and the different things that went, and I'll show you how each one worked in each session or each situation. And I think it'll be very profitable to you to see how you can exercise your power, how you can exercise your area over your area of responsibility, all devils, and to cure diseases. So bless your hearts.